Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on into what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Or you can hit me up on TikTok at The Zach Gelb Show. Whole lot to do today. Emmett Johnson, the Nebraska running back, who there is now a Heisman push for, as over the weekend he continued his miraculous season as he's second in the FBS in terms of rushing yards, but he became the first FBS player over the weekend for this season to have a game where he registered over 100 rushing yards and 100 receiving yards in the same contest, as he scored not one, not two, but three touchdowns for Go Big Red with Nebraska as they were at the Rose Bowl and they were going up against UCLA and they got a victory. So we'll connect with Emmett Johnson, who has a pretty good story and a pretty cool story. So he'll tell that to us in 20 minutes from now. Pat Boyle in his weekly spot. We're going to push that back to 4 p.m. Eastern time today. And then Brian Hoyer, the former NFL quarterback, he's going to join us on behalf of DraftKings at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Let's start with the college football playoff rankings from last night. There was one surprise to me. Ohio State being one, not surprising. Indiana being two, not surprising. A&M being three, not surprising. Alabama being four, not surprising, right? Those are the ways that I expected the byes to go. Georgia being fifth, not surprising. Here was the first minor surprise, but then there was a major surprise to me. In at six was Texas Tech. I thought Texas Tech would be seventh and Ole Miss would be sixth. Texas Tech ended up getting to be the sixth seed last night. Ole Miss was seventh. Oregon was eight. Notre Dame was nine. Texas was 10. None of that surprising. Then here was the big one. Miami in at 11. And then as expected, South Florida, USF did get in at 12. Let's start with Miami. Then we'll get into the Texas Tech conversation. Miami being the ACC representative last night, I didn't anticipate that one because of the fact that they have two losses on the season and they're 7-2, and Georgia Tech right now is 8-1. But with that being said, Miami, right, that loss to SMU occurred 2 weeks ago. Georgia Tech's loss to NC State also occurred 2 weeks ago. So they're both recent losses. So it's interesting to me how last week, Miami was buried at 18, right? Notre Dame was 10. Everyone's freaking out. Well, Miami beat Notre Dame. So how could Miami, who has two losses, while Notre Dame has two losses, how could Miami be at 18 and Notre Dame could be at 10? Right? That was the conversation. So the committee did a half-ass cleanup job last night. Now, there's some merit to it, but they gave the fans what they wanted in what really is an irrelevant Week 2 ranking, right? The second installment of this, because they said, oh, you know, fans are outraged about Miami's ranking. Okay, we'll put them as the ACC representative. We'll move them up the rankings, and we will put Miami a spot above Georgia Tech, and Miami will go into as the 11th spot, as USF actually made the rankings this week, where Memphis didn't last week, but USF now did. I think they were the 24th team in the country, so USF gets a 12th spot. And when I say it's a half-ass, this is why. Ultimately, Miami doesn't have a road. Miami doesn't have a path to make the college football playoff unless they win the ACC. Like, that's the only way. And that goes for any ACC team. The only way you're making the college football playoff this year is if you win the ACC. Because, like, let's just say Miami doesn't make the ACC championship game, but they have two losses at the end of the season. Like, let's just say if that's possible. Is a three-loss SEC team going to get preferential treatment over a two-loss Miami if they don't have a conference championship? Absolutely. So, I guess the committee last night gave the hungry pack of wolves a piece of meat, and they devoured it. But guess what? That could fill your belly for a week. In a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now, you could still be a hungry wolf. And that's what the Hurricanes can be. They could still be hungry in a few weeks from now. Because if Miami does not win the ACC, I don't see how they're making the college football playoff. All hell would have to break loose for them to make the college football playoff. So you could say, Zach, I would expect you to be irate about this. I would expect you to be foaming at the mouth about this. I would expect you to be yelling, bitching, and complaining about this. I'm not. Because I'm cognizant of the fact that there won't be, like last year, where two ACC teams this year get in the college football playoff. Last year was SMU, last year was Clemson. And I look at Miami against Georgia Tech, if that's the argument, who has the better resume? It is Miami. Even though Miami has one extra loss, Miami has the better resume. Miami beat Notre Dame. Right now would be in the college football playoff. Miami beat South Florida. Right now would be in the college football playoff. They have defeated schools. I know that these schools have not played well this year, but big brands like Florida and Florida State. Now, they did lose to Louisville, and they did lose to SMU. Their other wins were Stanford and Syracuse. Who cares? You look at Georgia Tech. Like, Stu, if I just ask you, when you think of the best opponent that Miami beat this year, right away, the team comes out of your mouth. And that team is?
Notre Dame.
When I ask you, who did Georgia Tech beat this year? You're like, Clemson? Right? And they barely beat Clemson? And I think the world of Haynes King. I like Brent Key. I want to see Georgia Tech get into the college football playoff. But if you look at Georgia Tech's resume, and I guess you could throw Duke in there, you know, they beat Colorado, they beat Gardner-Webb, they beat Clemson, they beat Temple, go Owls. They beat Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Duke, Syracuse, and they lost to NC State. Now, Georgia Tech still has to play Pittsburgh. They still have to play Georgia. They still have Boston College coming up this weekend. And Miami's remaining schedule is NC State, Virginia Tech, and then at Pitt. So right now, today, I should have probably thought about it this way, and I didn't yesterday. I just thought, oh, Georgia Tech has one loss. They'll be the ACC team in. I believe that what the committee did last night is fine with me. I don't have a great outrage about it because ultimately, at the end of the day, if Miami doesn't win the conference, Miami's not going to get in. Now, that was the thing I was most surprised with. But in reality, we could go talk about it for another 10 minutes. It's kind of a waste of time because the ACC is only getting one school in this year. The Big 12, though, I looked at this last week when BYU was about to play Texas and BYU was undefeated. I remember saying, the only way the Big 12 is going to get two teams in this year is if Notre Dame loses again and then they're out, or if BYU is undefeated entering the conference championship weekend and they lose by a razor margin thin, a razor thin margin. That's how I thought BYU could get in. Now, BYU lost last week. I wasn't sitting here thinking that I'd be sitting here and making a case for two Big 12 teams, but I do think it's now plausible. I think it's plausible. And Texas Tech, if they win out and then they're in the Big 12 championship game and then they lose by a razor-thin margin, I then think Texas Tech with two losses, if that second loss occurs on conference championship weekend, they could get in. And let me tell you, number one, they play UCF and West Virginia. They're going to enter in an 11-1. Last year, SMU only had one loss. And then they picked up a second on conference championship weekend, and they got in, if memory serves me right. So that could happen again. And if you don't believe me, here is why I think it is plausible. Texas Tech got moved up to 6, right? Wouldn't the committee, you just would have thought they would have moved Ole Miss up to 6 and then Texas Tech would have been 7, right? Everyone was predicting Texas Tech 7 up against Texas 10. That's what everyone was predicting before last night, including yours truly. The committee moving Texas Tech up to 6 makes me think two things. Number one, there's a chance if Texas Tech doesn't win the Big 12 championship, but they don't lose another game until then, that they could have two teams, the Big 12 and the college football playoff. Number two, if Texas Tech wins the Big 12, that could be the non-Big 10 or SEC team that actually gets a bye. I don't think that's off the table yet. So I thought last night the biggest winner wasn't Miami. It was actually Texas Tech, because as long as they take care of business in the regular season, there's a road for them to still make the college football playoff, even if they lose in the Big 12 championship game. Now, the committee ranked these teams in the Big 12 after Texas Tech, who was at 6. They had BYU as 12, Utah at 13. So that's some significant play when that cutoff number is right in there at 12. And then there was not the only other Big 12 team that made it was Cincinnati in at 25. So that's how the cookie did crumble for the Big 12 last night. Now, moving off of the college football playoff committee, South Florida, it was interesting how they were ranked, right? And South Florida's had a very good resume this year. But Memphis last week got the G5 spot, and they weren't even ranked. Now South Florida was ranked in at 24th, so they snagged the 12th spot. So if the college football playoff were to be tomorrow, which it's not, 1, 2, 3, 4 in order, Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Alabama would receive byes. 5, Georgia would play 12, South Florida. 8, Oregon would play 9, Notre Dame. 6, Texas Tech would play 11, Miami. And then 7, Ole Miss would play 10, Texas. Now, let's hear from Eli Drinkwitz. His program in Missouri has been on the rise. Eli Drinkwitz was 11-2 2 years ago, 10-3 last year. And now, they were one of those teams, can they take the next step? And can they go make the college football playoff this year? It's highly unlikely that they're going to make the college football playoff this year because they already lost that game to Alabama. That didn't take them out. Then they lost to Vanderbilt. You can't really afford to lose another game. Like, sure, is there a way for a 3-loss SEC team to get in? But they just dropped that game to A&M, which is nothing to be ashamed of. And you still got to play Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and then Arkansas. And we'll see how that plays out. But if there's a bunch of 3-loss teams in the SEC, I don't think Missouri is going to get the preference in to the college football playoffs. So Eli Drinkwitz did his radio show, his coach's radio show with Tiger Talk, and this is how he was kind of talking about the expectations of playoff or bust for his program.
We got to get out of this. Oh, man, it's playoffs or bust. Yes, again, we're shooting for the moon. We're going to put our whole self into that. But only 12 teams make the playoffs, and we put ourselves in position in November to be there. Okay, didn't get it done. I got that. But if the season only counts for 12 football teams, and we got 127 Division I playing football teams, that math's not going to math very well. That math's not going to math very well, okay? Football is more than just the playoff potential. And, again, we were there. We were there. We didn't get it done. You know, there's a whole heck of a lot to be proud of. There's a whole heck of a lot to play for. And, you know, there's a lot of programs right now that would trade us spots. And that's a perspective that most people don't have.
Right.
We're going to get ourselves back there. We're going to bust through.
It's ironic because that sounds like James Franklin, and there's a chance that Eli Drinkwitz replaces James Franklin at Penn State. That sounded like Matt Campbell the year where Iowa State was supposed to win the Big 12, and he's like, oh, I never said that was my standard to go win the Big 12, was to be the best version of ourselves that we could be, the best team that we could be, the best, you know, group of guys that we could be. Timing is everything. Eli Drinkwitz's timing on this one was way off. If he said this last year, after being 11-2 and 10-3, I would not crush him for a second. He would 100% be right. Even if you don't make the college football playoff, it doesn't mean that you can't be successful. But when you are 11-2 and 10-3, and you've done a really good job at Missouri, this was a year where we were wondering if you could take the next step. And he knows what the expectation is. He's even talked about what the expectation is. And when it looks like you're not going to meet that, and when it looks like you're going to miss the college football playoff, I know you're trying to spin it, but you got to take that one on the chin. And you can't have that loser energy in the way that that did come off. That message would have been fine 2 years ago. That message would have been fine last year. I know last year was the first year of the 12-team college football playoffs, so it's a little bit different. But after the 2 years you had, no one's sitting there and saying, oh, Missouri is this huge failure. Like, maybe the fans are, but I don't think they're a huge failure. They didn't succeed in making the college football playoff. It's not looking that way. But we were wondering if you could take that next step this year. You didn't. So don't bitch about playoffs or bust this year when you're not in the infant stages of building this thing. Zach Yelp here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. One of the best stories in college football is Emmett Johnson. The Nebraska running back will join us next. Alrighty, welcome back in. It is a Zach Yelp show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I actually went to Lincoln, Nebraska a few weeks ago. I saw Go Big Red take on the Northwestern football team. I was standing on the sidelines, and Emmett Johnson, he ran right past me into the end zone. And that stadium was rocking. It's always an electric atmosphere. And then the other night, I was up late watching Nebraska go up against UCLA, and Emmett Johnson, man, he put on a performance. 129 rushing yards, 103 receiving yards, and not one, not two, but three touchdowns. He leads the nation in yards from scrimmage. And right now he's been thrown into the Heisman Trophy conversation. So now welcoming us from Go Big Red, obviously with Nebraska, the star himself and Emmett Johnson on the Zach Yelp Show. Emmett, appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Congratulations on all your success and how you been.
Man, I've been good. Appreciate you having me on the show. But it's been a blessing, and I'm just, you know, extremely proud to be in this position and just keep this thing rolling.
You know, you're a really humble guy, and I know that you are a team guy first. But this last week, ever since the UCLA game, your coach Matt Rhule is leading off all your accolades and reading off all those statistics about you. He's trying to create this hype. I saw you at the basketball game last night with the Heisman Trophy kind of shirt, pushing your brand. To have the Heisman Trophy coverage, to have the Doak Walker Award maybe be in reach for you, just all that praise this week, I'm sure it's a whirlwind, but how are you kind of just handling all those emotions?
Yeah, like I said, man, it's a blessing to be, you know, in this position and having all these things and things ahead of me. But like I said, man, I'm just extremely focused on the team and, you know, winning these next two games. That's what I'm really focused on. Purposely, I'm focused on Penn State, but it's a blessing to have those things. And like I said, I'm extremely proud of my teammates because I couldn't do it without them. Like, those guys are what put me in position to do that. You know, the O-line blocking for me, receivers blocking for me. There's a lot of people that are doing work to put me in this position. And so I got to give credit to them, give credit to Coach Rhule, and, you know, what we've been doing here has been great.
You had such a special performance last week on Saturday night up against UCLA in an iconic venue like the Rose Bowl. Just how do you put that game into perspective, especially what you were able to do, not only killing UCLA on the ground, but also getting free, catching the ball, and then going through like 3,000 defenders to find your way in the end zone?
Yeah, man, that's just the versatility of how running backs are in Coach Dana's offense. And he has a perfect offense for me to show my skill set, you know, in the receiving game and in the rushing game. I thought TJ did a great job of stepping up into that role. You know, true freshman is hard, man. I know Dylan's told him some things too, but it's hard being a true freshman and coming out there and playing. I love playing in that stadium. It was amazing. Like, the Rose Bowl was really, you know, historical. And I'm just glad that we can get the win. But it was a great feeling out there, man. It felt really fun being in Cali, not playing in the cold or nothing. It was just out there having fun. And I'm just glad that we got the win.
I was watching the game. I know it didn't go your guys' way up against USC, but it was an incredible environment with the blackout. And, you know, I saw Dylan Raiola got hurt, and then I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's not going to return. Then I see him standing on the sideline basically begging to go back in, and he has his helmet on. So I go, all right, maybe the injury's not that bad, and then we find out he's out for the year with the broken fibula. Just him, I know that I'm a fan of his. I know he gets a lot of stupid hate because of all the Patrick Mahomes stuff, but what is it like being a teammate of Dylan Raiola and just that toughness of even trying to get back into that game? It's still wild to me a few weeks later.
Nah, yeah, man. I love Dylan a lot, man. And he's a warrior, as you can see. Like, he's out there injured and he's trying to go back into the game, and that's just how much he cares about our team. And so we all love Dylan here, and I just know that, it's just another step in his journey, man. It's just adversity that he's going through, but I have no doubt that God has a plan for him. And he's been supporting us throughout the whole way. So yeah, it's tough to have him go down, man. He's somebody I call a brother. Like, we spent a lot of time doing things in the off season, not just football wise, but just off the field team bonding things. And so seeing somebody like that goes down, it hurts a lot. But Coach Rule talks about caring for our teammates, and that's what we do on the field, and that's what we did for against UCLA, was just go out there and play for each other. There's a lot of guys that we wish could be out there with us, but aren't out there with us. And so just showing that we care for each other with how we play, that means a lot. And so I'm really proud of him, and I know he has a lot more, a lot more football ahead.
What did you say to TJ Lateef after the game with the performance that he had? Because that's not easy stepping into a role like that, especially with the ending of the USC game. And man, he was ready. He delivered.
No, yeah, I told him he was a dog, man. I even told the press conference, like, the first play of the game on offense, the defense I knew thought I was getting the ball, and then he pulled it and ran. And like, once I seen him do that, I was like, okay, it's gonna be tough for the defense to stop that, because he's able to run, he's able to pass, he's able to do different things, and so it just makes it hard for a defense to stop it. But I was really proud of him. But he told me after the game, man, he was just like, I know I did well, but if I'm slacking in practice or if I'm not, doing anything well, like, he said, get on my butt about it. Like, everything that I'm doing wrong, get on me about it. And that just shows that he's willing to learn, and he's willing to do what it takes to, play be a Nebraska quarterback and help this team win. And I know a lot of guys have trust in him.
Emmett Johnson here with us. I saw you were celebrating with your lineman in the end zone. I absolutely love that. And you did have the Heisman pose. When did that start to creep into your mind about potentially doing the Heisman pose?
Yeah, man. Honestly, we played USC. I really, really wanted to win that game badly, and I know that last drive didn't go, how it was planned, but it's kind of something that, it happened naturally. I wasn't really super, super focused on it, but then we were in the huddle, and then the O line, everybody was in there. It was like, hey, man, we're about to go score right here. Once we score, we're gonna hit the pose. And Coach EJ, my running back coach, he has a lot of belief in me. He spent a lot of time doing things with me in the off season, and so. When we were in the huddle before, he was like, yeah, man, like, you deserve it. Like, go out there and just, put the word on notice. And I feel like I've been, disrespected on a lot of different levels. But honestly, just making it about the team and just keeping that chip on my shoulder. So I think that was just my way of showing the world, who Emma Johnson is. And I just felt like that was the right time to do it.
Why is this team so tough? Why is this team so resilient? Because you bring up a great point. USC didn't go your way. It didn't have the ending you wanted it. It didn't have the ending TJ wanted it. And that could break a team, right? Starting quarterback out for the year. Maybe you give up on the rest of the season. Or you guys just don't have that synergy there. But you guys early on, man, you were playing with more than just to beat UCLA. It felt like it was something bigger than that for you guys.
This team is extremely battle tested, and I'll say that starts in the off season with what Coach Campbell does in the weight room. We put ourselves through a lot of different things that are challenging, and we don't want anything to be easy. And so I think us bouncing back was just example of our brand and what we do here at Nebraska, and it's just a what's next mentality. When things don't go wrong, we just gotta stay neutral. When things go well, we gotta stay neutral. And so we have a team full of warriors who are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And that's what we did. We bounced back, and I know we got, more football ahead to do that too as well.
How are you able to take individually? Forget the team for a second. I know that's tough for you to do, Emmett Johnson. But I know Matt Rhule very well. I'm a Temple guy, so he'll give you a pass for not just going team, team, team here with me. But how are you individually able to take this next step? Because you were good, right? The first two seasons, you were fine. Now you're at a different level when we talk about leading the nation in yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, man, just sticking to my everyday routine, staying grounded in my faith. Coach EJ, man, like I said, he's done a great job with helping not just me, the other running backs, but just playing with a chip on my shoulder is something I've always had ever since I was younger. And so every single day I'm out there at practice, like, my teammates know every rep is a game rep for me. And I feel like that's gotten me to this point. Like, back then, when I wasn't playing as much, like, just me working hard and going hard every day in practice is what led to the success now. It's the work you do when nobody's watching. And so I hope I can be an example for a lot of the younger guys here, but also, other players out there that aren't, if they aren't getting their opportunity, just to keep your head down and work and then have faith in God and he'll do great things for you. And so for me, like I said, all these things are cool, but every day I approach it like I'm on zero. Like I don't have anything. I haven't done anything yet. Honestly, I'm forgetting about the UCLA game, all the games in the past, and just focusing on Penn State. I think having that mentality going forward will help me just because I'm always going to be hungry no matter what. I can do whatever. I'm going to be hungry.
You're confident, but you're also humble, and it's awesome to hear. Are you surprised by the success that you're having this season?
No, not at all. And I would say just because I know I put the work in, it's a different feeling when it's lucky or you feel like, oh, I just made a cool play. But the things that I'm doing in the game, I've done thousands of times in practice. And so it's just about trusting my training, trusting what I do in practice, and just going out there and being myself. But I'm not surprised at all. And I know you guys probably are, but I'm not.
How the heck was Nebraska your only Power Five offer coming out of high school?
I don't know. It's something you got to ask those coaches. But I would say that's another thing. Like, I've always had a chip on my shoulder because it was December of my senior year when I got Nebraska. I didn't have no other, it was Power Five at the time, scholarships. And so once I had that opportunity, I told my mom, I said, you're not going to pay for school. I'm just going to go there. I'm going to. I work everybody, and I'm just gonna put myself in a position to help the team win. And so, yeah, man, it was tough. Honestly, a lot of people ask me that, like, why didn't you have Power Five? Why didn't you have Minnesota? Why didn't you have other schools reaching out? But God does everything for a reason, and I feel like He put me here for a reason, to be here right now in this position. So, I'm blessed for every step of the journey, and I just use that as fuel.
And you never know how the story is going to play out, especially with the transfer portal now. I know your name was in it this past offseason. You had conversations with Dana Holgorsen. You had conversations with Matt Rhule, and you elected to stay. And obviously, that investment is now paying off. How close were you to leaving? And ultimately, I know you felt like you said your calling was to be and to stay in Nebraska, but why did you ultimately stay?
I led on my faith. I took some time. It was hard at the time. It was a lot of different emotions, a lot of different things going on, but I just realized, how special this place is, how special the people are. Like you said, man, Coach Hogue and Coach Rhule, those are two, guys I have a lot of belief in, and I believe in what they're doing here for the program. And so I also knew that, like, in Dana's offense, I'd be able to show my skill set and do different things like that. And so coming back, it was bigger than just myself. It was about the people here, the humans here. I know a lot of people talk about the football stuff, but Coach Rhule does a good job of making sure that people are good outside of football. Like, he checks in on your mental health. The thing with the Cowboys that he just talked about meant a lot to a lot of people on this team because we have a brotherhood and we want to be able to come to him about any of our problems and come to our teammates about any of our problems. So it's bigger than football. It's a lot of things here. And I just know this fan base is just amazing. Like, Husker fans, it's the best fan base in college football. And I know that when I come back to this place someday, they'll remember me for, like, the person I am, right, not rather than just football. And so, got a lot of belief in Coach Rhule, a lot of belief in Dana, and just my teammates and the people that are here. That's what made that decision for me to come back. Obviously, going other places, and a lot of people talk about NIL and money and all that stuff. It wasn't about any of that. It was just about going somewhere where I'm loved, and I know that the people around me want to see me be successful, and I can just call people around me brothers. So that's what led to me coming back here, and I just know it's a special place. We got a lot more work to do.
I saw Matt build it at Temple a few weeks ago. I was there. I felt the special vibe brewing in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now the question everyone's going to ask you for the rest of the season is, Emmett Johnson going to be back next year? Is he going to be off to the NFL? Just what do you tell people when those conversations come up?
A lot of people have asked about that already. I just tell them I'm focusing on Penn State and just gonna go out here and attack every single game and every day. That decision will be made later on, but I'm just focused on winning games for Nebraska right now. And that's all I really care about, is just taking it one day at a time and winning this game against Penn State.
All righty, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter. There's many of us. We got three names to put on a ballot. Sell me. Why should I put Emmett Johnson when the season's over, expecting, that you continue this in the final two games? Why should I consider you for one of my three votes that I get?
Just because I'm a winner, I'm a competitor. All the stats and everything are cool, but I care about my team winning, and I'm going to do whatever it takes for the team to win. Whether that's blocking, or whether that's running the ball, whether that's receiving, I care a lot about this team, and I'm a winner. So, I mean, it's kind of how I use with the MJ LeBron thing. I feel like MJ's a killer. Like, he's out there dominating. Every time I step on the field, I'm trying to dominate you. And I know you can go back and ask every team that we've played against and ask them about me and see if they respect me as a player. But like I said, man, it's bigger than myself. But if it comes down to it, I'm super confident in myself and I'm a winner. And ultimately, I know winning's fun. And that's what the whole goal of football is against other opponents. So if you want a winner, choose me.
I have a little surprise for you here. Last thing that I'm going to bring up to you. Nobody knows that this is coming. Amon Green is a very good friend of mine. He's been on this show a bunch. And I reached out to him and I told him, hey, we're going to have Emmett Johnson on today. And he sent me this long text. And Amon wants to just give you a little message right now. He sent me this right before the show. Here's a little video message from Amon Green.
Hey, Zach, man. This is Amon Green. And Emmett, how you doing? Zach just sent me a message that he's going to have you on his show today. And I won't be able to come on at the time because I got another engagement thing. But I want to say to you, Emmett, man, keep rolling. You're doing your thing. The offensive line is coming together. The offense is coming together, even with the loss of Dylan. You guys, you, TJ, is doing your thing. You know, just keep it up. But just know it's not over. It's just midseason. We're a little bit past midseason. We got a few games left. We got to finish strong to get to. We're already bowling. But you know, it's a long road still ahead of you. I'm super excited for you, having a fantastic year, being promoted, getting hyped up as the Heisman, candidate right now. That is awesome. So keep that going. And this is from a one big red running back to another, man. Go big red. Keep doing your damn thing. Peace.
Go big red. I love that from Amon Green. When you hear that from a Husker legend, just what does that mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot, man. I've got to know Amon a little bit, over the years. And I had a camp with him and Amir Abdullah, if you didn't know, in the offseason. It took time to get a lot closer with those guys. And anytime they got advice from me, I always listen to them. And it just means a lot for them to be taking time out of their days to support me and give back to me, because I know there's a lot of Husker great running backs in this position that have played here before. And so it means a lot, man. I talk to Amir Abdullah a lot. Like, we text a lot too, and he's always showing love, man, and they're always showing support for me. I have a lot of respect for them. So yeah, those are great guys I can call mentors in my life.
Well, hey, unbelievable season so far. I know the job isn't done yet for you. You've made that clear, obviously, in the conversation. It's been a joy to watch you this year. Good luck, good health the rest of the way, and really appreciate you carving out some time for us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Zach. God bless.
There you go. Emmett Johnson joining us from the Nebraska football team. What a story. What a message. Truly just someone that is all about the team, and he's having one monster season for the Cornhuskers. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. Is Bill Belichick an option for the New York Giants? Also, a little update on Jeff Brohm at Louisville. We'll do more about that when we return. Update time first. Here's Zach. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Net or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I got a note on Bill Belichick in just a second, but first, from On3 Sports, Louisville is working on a contract extension to keep Jeff Brohm with the Cardinals. That is what Chris Lowe, Brett McMurphy, and Pete Nakos have all been reporting. Brohm's name has been linked to Penn State and Florida. So it looks like Jeff Brohm is going to be staying with his school, the school he played for, the school that he now coaches for. Remember, he was at Purdue, turned Louisville down before, then ended up at Louisville. Now Jeff Brohm, assuming that these T's get crossed and the I's get dotted, that we're going to have Jeff Brohm off the table for either Penn State or Florida or anybody else. So Matt Rhule, contract extension, Penn State rumors. Kurt Cignetti, contract extension, Penn State rumors. So we're trending in that category where more and more coaches are getting paid and more coaches that were speculated for Penn State are off the table. Now, with that being said, I'll just ask this question and I'll see if Stu or Samter could get this one right. Do you find it interesting, just with the names that have been speculated for Penn State, whether they're realistic or not, I don't know. But do you find it interesting that one guy who's been speculated has every reason to get a new contract extension, and for some reason, there hasn't been an extension yet. Does any coach ring a bell that's been speculated for the Penn State job, whether it's been a lot of speculation or just maybe a little teeny tiny speculation? Is there a name out there that you go, all right, Brohm's getting taken care of, Rule got taken care of, Cignetti's getting taken care of, but there's still one guy out there that I can't imagine a school doesn't want to get an extension done, but for whatever reason, we're sitting here on the 12th of November and still no extension has gotten done. You want to take a guess?
I'll say Drinkwitz, Eli Drinkwitz.
Okay, interesting name. Not the one I was thinking of, but definitely is in consideration for Penn State and also for Florida. Samter, would you like to take a stab at this? Is there a name that stands out to you?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. There's not a name that I'm going to say and throw out into the ether that should be getting a damn extension, who's not getting an extension, who is a name at the top of the Penn State list, who's going to leave his beautiful school and home in southwestern part of this country, no matter what he says in his in his position meetings, that I'm going to throw out there. So, no.
Okay. Well, let me just bring up something on both your coaches. Number one, Kenny Dillingham, I don't know if he'll get an extension. That's not the name that I was saying, because he got one last year. So I don't know if they'll then just tack on more year. Like what's really going to change from last year to this year? What else more could you want? And then Eli Drinkwitz got an extension, I think this past summer it was. But isn't it interesting Mike Elko hasn't got an extension yet? Undefeated team with A&M, Northeast guy, right? He has interviewed with Pat Kraft before, and this is how deep in the weeds I am in terms of just knowing like these kinds of things, because I was at Temple. I wasn't a current student, but I just remember being in the Philadelphia area and that being my school. But they tried, I think it was to hire, if memory serves me right, Elko, maybe in both times. I think it was before they hired Manny Diaz. And then when Manny said, yeah, I'm actually going to take the Miami job after accepting the Temple job, be the coach for 17 years, I think they tried to spark back up conversation with Elko, but that ship already sailed because he already said no the first time when then eventually Manny got the job. So what was really going to change after? I think, though, they definitely offered him before Manny got the job. So there is a relationship to some extent with Pat Kraft and Mike Elko. And Mike Elko also has a relationship prior to being the head coach at A&M with A&M because he was their defensive coordinator before he left to be the Duke head coach. So I'm not saying that Mike Elko is going to be the next head football coach at Penn State. But my question is right now, if you're going to give Elko an extension, why hasn't it occurred yet when the team is undefeated? Undefeated. And I know the name hasn't really caught fire yet. Like inside the Penn State fans, that name has been hot. But nationally, it's not like people are sitting there slamming the desk, Elko, 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 to Penn State. Heather Dinich, I believe her name is. Like I saw she was talking about it on ESPN when she was doing like her best Steve Kornacki impression with all the coaching searches with the odds and everything. But I just find it interesting. Rule was speculated, extension. Cignetti speculated, extension. Brohm speculated, looks like he's getting an extension. Why hasn't Mike Elko received an extension? What is that telling you? May mean something, may mean nothing. But I just think it's interesting. Now, I think the two names still to watch for Penn State the most, Brian Hartline at Ohio State, and then also Eli Drinkwitz, right, who Stu did bring up. Now, I could see Eli Drinkwitz being in play for Florida. I think he could definitely be a fit for Penn State. Hartline, I don't want to say he is Venables, because Venables, right, an assistant for all those years. He was a coordinator a lot longer than Hartline has been a coordinator. It's the first year Hartline has really been the offensive coordinator. And everyone knew that eventually Venables, when he wanted a job, was going to get one. I don't know if it's as clear as that for Hartline, but he's a guy that you feel like should be a head coach by now with the way that they recruit at the wide receiver position and also the success with more responsibilities this year that he is having at Ohio State. And if you're trying to win a championship, right, Brian Hartline knows what it's like to be around the championship-winning program. So I would say those three names are the names to watch. Hartline, Eli Drinkwitz, and then just monitor Mike Elko. because Elko is a Northeast guy. I don't think, let me be clear, that he should leave A&M. I would stay put. You have things rolling right now. You're undefeated. You're going to be in the SEC championship game in all likelihood. You're going to be in the college football playoff. You have a chance to win a national championship this year. You have a heck of a team. But why hasn't an extension been done yet with Mike Elko? I just think it's interesting when all these names keep on getting extensions because of the Penn State rumors. Alrighty. Bill Belichick, yes or no? I just want to skip around the room here. Not if you think he will. Should Bill Belichick get another opportunity as an NFL head coach? I start things off with Moist Mike.
Absolutely. He's the greatest NFL head coach of all time.
So even this Jordan Hudson stuff, even being away from the game for 2 years, even with how it's looking right now at Chapel Bill, you don't give a rat's ass about that.
Two straight weeks of wins in the ACC. We really haven't heard much from or about Jordan Hudson in the past month and a half or so.
Other than Belichick's son's wife, I think it was. They had an icy stare, according to the New York Post. Where they were both at the game together.
I mean, an icy stare. Who knows what that even means? But at the end of the day, like, she's been quiet.
I just thought the headline was funny.
Yeah, but like, it hasn't been a distraction. I think Belichick is maybe riding the ship. And if there's any job that's available, Big Blue, where he got his start as defensive coordinator under Parcells, like, it's just a perfect fit.
Stu.
Of course he should. He is the best coach of all time. He's probably better than half the coaches in the league right now. So, yeah, if you're a team with an opening, you should definitely consider him.
Should he? Yes. The Falcons should have hired him. The Giants, it's interesting. Now, he's going to acquire Joe Shane. Maybe, maybe not. It looks like Joe Shane is going to stay. That's the two things with Belichick that I think hurts him the most is the control and then also now you got to kind of be a player's coach, but not a doormat. Not really a player's coach, Bill Belichick. We know he's not a doormat. That's for sure. But I think he should. Will he, though? I'm going to say no. I don't think he will be an NFL head coach again. Samter, will he be an NFL head coach again?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the dude wants to be an NFL head coach.
Oh, that's clear.
Right? So at the end of the day, you just need one owner who is looking at his 20-some-odd years of success in New England and not his 2 years of not great success at the end of New England and a six-month period at North Carolina where it was kind of a train wreck.
All righty. Stu, do you think he will be a coach again?
Don't think so. I'm with you. I don't think he gets another job.
Yeah, I think he's staying at UNC. I think that he's been out of it too long that it's going to take a really desperate owner. And even as bad as things are for John Mara, maybe he can't say no. Maybe John Mara, right, can't say no to Bill. I think that's the best bet. Stephen Ross could be desperate enough, but there's a chance that Mike McDaniel is still back somehow with the Dolphins. But I'm going to say that he will not be an NFL head coach again. All righty. Brian Hoyer going to join us at 5 p.m. Eastern time. But before that, at 4 p.m. Eastern time, coming on back in 5 minutes, Pat Boyle will join us with his big doofy glasses. He'll join us on the other side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.